Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Tonight, our 40-minute speaker is Sarah from Carlsbad. Hi, my name is Sarah, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Karen, for inviting me out here to speak. I really liked you until you said New England. Go Chargers. I'm just kidding. My sobriety date is January 12th, 2009. I have a sponsor. She spoke here last week, Marianne from Oceanside, so it's a tough act to follow. And I have a home group. It's the Thursday night Carlsbad workshop. And, you know, I don't have a lot of time. I have about a year and 8 months, and it's like, what can I tell you? You know, I'm not an old timer. I don't have that much time, but I do have a story of recovery, and I do have a program, and I know what it takes to get sober. And just as a disclaimer that was reminded to me today, you know, nothing that I did was of my own device. I was given a little bit of grace and a little, just a little bit of time to start a program by my higher power, and that's why I get to stand up here today to speak to you. Alcohol is a huge part of my life, my family life. It's been, both my parents are active in their disease. If you don't drink, or if you know, don't come to family functions and drink, or if you're square, you're considered square, and we didn't really understand you very much. And I remember my first, I think it was my first drink was, I was about 12 years old, and I went over to a girlfriend's house, and she had, or her parents were gone, and they had a bar, like a, you know, just a stocked bar. And so we thought it would be cool to try it, and we just kind of poured a little bit of everything into a glass, and I remember we had blue Kool-Aid, and so we put a little bit of blue Kool-Aid in there, and we started drinking that, and we felt fantastic, and we, for a little bit. And then, you know, we were outside, and I don't even remember much, and the only thing I remember is coming to, and I'm throwing up violently in her toilet, and she's like, I don't know what to do, and I'm like, call my mom, and I never really got better at it than that, you know, just call my mom, I don't know, so, ooh, tough crowd, all right, Stan, the rocket scientist, his joke went off real good, but me, not so much, Stan comes to my home group a lot, so, it's good to see you, Stan. I got into high school, and I never got into any clubs or sports, or, you know, I never did anything like that. I guess I should tell you that I was always a performing artist. I was a singer, a writer, a dancer. I was always in choir. I was always in drama. Well, yeah, I never got into sports, but so being as that was in high school, I never hung out with the cool crowd. I hung out with the real awkward crowd, and I loved to go to parties. I wanted to go to the keggers, and I wanted to go to the parties, and it wasn't so much for the social part of it, but I wanted to be the girl at the keg that would, no problem, I'll fill that cup for you. I'll take the bunny. I'll stand here. I'll watch the keg, just because I could pump my own, and I would never run out. And that was just my whole gig. And then I figured out party games. You know, and if I got party games going, then I could drink a lot of alcohol really fast, and nobody else would really notice because, you know, we'd all be drinking fast, like quarters and Queen's Cup, and that was just like my games. And so I really tried to get in wherever I could into the center of drinking. When I was 16 years old, though, I dropped out of high school. I got involved, I got into a band. I started being the lead singer of a band. And it was like alternative music. I got to kind of be a little more punk rock. I got to, I got to kind of have the attitude that I wanted to have, and I dressed the way I wanted, and I wrote the songs that I wanted to write, and I sang the songs I wanted to sing, and I got to hang out with the boys, and I was really good at hanging out with the boys. And, you know, we got kind of successful. We started playing out in Hollywood, and mind you, I'm 16 years old, and I'm playing in big clubs in Hollywood like the Whiskey A Go Go and the Roxy, and I'm with the band, right? So I never got carded. I mean, I have a baby face now. I'm 30 years old, and I was 16. Imagine what I look like, right? But I always got in the bar. I always got to sit at the bar, and I always was backstage in the dressing rooms and drinking heavily. And I got to live that lifestyle that I thought I really wanted to live. Because, see, I never wanted to go to college. I never wanted to be a mother. I never wanted a real job. I don't really have any goals. I just wanted to party like a rock star. And I was a little brat. And the rules don't apply to me. As you can see, I'm wearing a white dress after Labor Day. So I don't care what the rules are. I really don't. So I got to drink really heavily. And just like an example of one of my little escapades, I was drunk, and I would lose my shoes a lot. And so I made it part of my act. I'm the barefoot performer. I don't wear shoes on stage. It's part of my thing. And, you know, I'm up there, and there was this opening band. I'll never forget this name because it's ridiculous now, and I know it's ridiculous. Not my name. But this band that opened for us, their name was the Satori Posse. They were like a 311. Like, oh, one guy's rapping, he's white, and then there's, I don't know. It was really weird. And so I get up there, and they're like, don't forget to thank the opening band. And I'm like, okay. And so I said, and we want to thank Suppository for coming out tonight and opening up for us. I was dead serious. I had no idea it wasn't Suppository, their name. And I didn't care. I just kept going. And, you know, I just kind of... the drummer of that band, I'll never forget this, he said to me one day, he said, Sarah, I think I was really hungover, and I said, I need to quit drinking. And he said, Sarah, you just need to learn how to moderate a little bit. And I remember I knew from the core of my being, when I was telling him the truth, when I said, I can't. Once it goes in me, it's like a fire started, and that's when I think I shine, and that's when I think that I'm funny, and that I'm more talented, and my voice is better, and I can't moderate. So there was a lot of alcohol in the band, and we ended up breaking up. There were fist fights, and it was dramatic, and my life was over. What do you do from there? I don't have my high school diploma. I don't have any goals. I just have a bad attitude and a drinking problem, and I'm 18. So I can be a waitress. Right? That's the next logical thing. So I just figure, well, I'll be a waitress till I'm 21, and then I can then bar. I have an idea. I have a plan. So I just waited tables, and my life was it was straight out of Waiting, that movie, if you've ever seen it. I mean, oh God, parties and parties. And then I did turn 21, and within a week I was behind the bar, and I started bartending, and then I got good at serving drinks. I got good at serving them, and I got good at drinking them, and that was my life. You know, I would just sleep till 3, 4 o'clock, be at work by 5:30, and just start over again. And it really worked for me. Then I met what I thought was the love of my life. I met this guy that I just thought was going to be the beginning and the end of my world. And he was so different from me. He was super preppy. Like, he looked like Abercrombie kind of guy. And, we were so different, and he was beautiful, and I thought that this was what I wanted, and I was going to make him love me. And I did, and we were together for about 3 or 4 years. And then I found out he was cheating on me. He was sleeping with some girl, and this is relevant to me because I think this is when I snapped. I think this is when I broke. I broke in half. And I remember I was drunk when I found out, and I just threw up the whole night just from like crying and nerves and all that. I snapped, like something in me broke. And I went to a bar the next morning, and I asked for 4 shots of tequila. And I want them in a row, please. And I put the money on the bar, and they said, "I don't want to, don't talk to me." And that was the only way that I knew how to cope. I sat there, and I got shit-faced drunk until somebody, they said, "We need to call somebody." I just kept drinking my tequila. They said, "We need to call somebody to come get you. Can't serve you anymore." And so I had a friend come pick me up, and that was just, I just didn't care anymore after that. I can't even explain it to you. I had no self-worth. I thought that I needed a guy. Well, first I thought I needed to be on stage and be looked at in order to be important. And then that didn't happen for me anymore. And then I thought, if I get this guy that's going to love me, then I'm going to be worth something and mean something, and then I'm going to be okay. And not so much. So what I did was I became a serial dater, and I just wanted to date everybody. What? That's not weird. I was a serial dater. And I finally met this poor sap that I convinced him that I was awesome. And he was moving up to Washington State to be closer to his dad that lived up there. And I was like, excuse my French, "Fuck yeah, I'm going with you. Get me out of California." Ugh. So I went up to Washington, and I was with him for like 6 months, and he proposed. And I was like, this is perfect, because if I'm a wife, then I have purpose, and he's not going anywhere, and he doesn't really drink very much, so I always have a designated driver. I mean, always. Nobody ever asks me to drive because they know it ain't going to happen. So I have a babysitter and a designated driver, and you can't really be a drunk if you're a wife, right? I don't know. I'm not smart. I didn't graduate high school. So this is how I thought that I was going. I did graduate high school. I did. I went back and got my GED. I should throw that in there so you guys don't think I'm total degenerate. But I'm an out. As I tell you my story, it gets better. Trust me. And so I go up to Washington, and I get married, and I think that this is going to be great, and I'm miserable. I'm miserable. I hate this guy. I hate him. Like, I literally, like his breath smells all the time, and he keeps gaining weight, and it's just, and he's all, I just hated him. Couldn't stand him. This is my husband. And, Hated him. I made amends to him. He's a great guy. God bless him. And so I was miserable, and I flew back down to California as much as I could, and I would make up any excuse I could to come home, and I would stay for like weeks at a time, and I would just go crazy, and I would go party with my girlfriends, and it would be like back on again, and then I'd go home and be like, "I'm your wife," and then I would just, like, I hated it, it was miserable. So, anyways, after a while, I just broke, and you know what? Too, with him, and this is maybe an Al-Anon thing, I don't know, he never said anything about my drinking. I remember one time I was sitting outside, it was snowing because it was January in Washington, and I'm drinking a bottle of wine and smoking cigarettes and reading a Harry Potter book in the snow because I didn't want to go back inside with that guy. And that was like, he never said anything, and I just, bless his heart, he loved me, and I digress. But So I eventually caved in and I said, I want to go home. I want to go home. And the guy, we packed up a U-Haul and we brought our whole lives back down here to California because that's where I wanted to be. And he was trying to make me happy. And within a month that I got settled back into my mom's house because she was letting us stay with her, I told you I always go back to mommy. I asked him to move out, and I just said, "I'm sorry, I can't. I don't love you, and I want you to move out and leave." And he did, and it was horrible. And he's a great guy. So now I'm single. I'm a serial dater again. But I didn't do that very well the second time. Now I'll get into my bottom because I know exactly when it started. I broke when my boyfriend cheated on me when I was about 19, 20. That's when I broke. But I crumbled when in March of 2008. I was bartending, and I was bartending at a small little biker bar where they encourage the bartenders to drink with the patrons. And I started drinking and I started dating the bar back. And so we were like, we'd lock up the place at night and we would stay there till like 4 or 5 in the morning drinking the house booze. And then we'd get out of there before they came in at 6 to reopen. And one morning he had to work at like 7 a.m. and I was driving him to work. And I got in my car, and I was still so drunk from the night before. I had reached down to do something stupid, like grab a cell phone or something. I lost control of my car, and I spun 3 times, and I ran into a truck that was parked at a stop sign. Now, this happens, I realize. But what I saw, what I knew that day was that God, my higher power, was looking out for me, because on the other side of that street, on the corner, were the kids waiting for their school bus. And I hit the truck, not the kids. And I went home, and I started drinking again. That's when I started drinking in the mornings. I just didn't care anymore. I started drinking in the morning, and at this time, now by this time, I also get a part-time job working at the Olive Garden. This is my friend Serenity's favorite part of my story. I started working at the Olive Garden because I've really, I've done great things with my life at this point. And I can't even get through a 4-hour shift. So I go to BevMo before all of my shifts, and I get those little airplane bottles, and I put them in my apron. And when I start to get the shakes, then I would go into the bathroom and pop a couple of the airplane bottles and wrap them up in toilet paper and put them in the trash can and go back to work, so I could carry my trays without shaking. I couldn't make it through the 4-hour shift, and so one time, I part of my story is I have a really bad anxiety. I have panic attacks that are debilitating, and it was from the drinking. I know this now because since I've done my step work and been in Alcoholics Anonymous, they have magically disappeared. And I know now they're from my lifestyle and my drinking. But so I start to have this panic attack, and I know that the only thing that's going to help me is a double Jack on the rocks. So I call the boyfriend, and I convince him that he needs to come in to the restaurant and tell the man, ask for the manager, I'm telling him all this on my cell phone, like in the bathroom, tell the manager that there's been a horrible accident, that my sister was in a horrible car accident, and that Sarah needs to be excused, please. I don't have a sister, just so we throw that out. She's fine. I don't have one. So he does this for me, and he comes in and says, Sarah, you go. And I come out, and I go, oh, no. And then, like, we get in his truck, and we go to the bar, and I get my double Jack on the rocks. And I was like, oh, I was not going to make it through that shift. Like, it was, like, the hardest part of my day was that 4 hours I'm at Olive Garden. And, And so, and I tell you this not because I'm proud of it, but this is the behavior that was normal for me. This was the Sarah, this is how I lived on a day-to-day basis. It was awful. It was torture. So I get tired of that guy, and I go on, move on, you know. And so I start dating a waiter at the Olive Garden. And the reason why the dating thing is important is because I matched my my drinking. I always found the person that would drink with me that amount, and I didn't like none of the girls could hang with me, because remember, when I was 16, I was, you know, drinking with the boys in the bar in the band, and so the girls just, you can't, I'm sorry, you couldn't hang with me. So I always got the guy, and I found the one that could drink with me and that could drink at my level and not judge me. That's the key here. Not judge me for it. Jack in the morning, yes please, and they don't question me, and it's great. So I start seeing the guy at Olive Garden, and this is when it got to the end. One of the most disgusting things that I did was, I started losing a lot of weight, and I started blacking out, and when I know this was the end, it was because I started to become unpredictable to myself. I couldn't even, like, trust myself anymore. I didn't know what was going to happen when I drank. I'm a blackout drinker, too, and it started getting to the point where I would wake up, and I'd go, oh, whoa, like, I couldn't even trust myself, and I was completely unpredictable, and so I started waking up in really, really weird situations, and I constantly had bruises on me, and, you know, cuts and scrapes, and this one time when I was at the guy's house, I had somehow made it down into the garage, like, stairs, and then into the garage, and I had, like, taken off my clothes, not because we did anything, because we were partying, like, there was a whole house full of people. I just decided I didn't want to wear my clothes anymore, which is pretty normal for me, and so I just take off my clothes, and they're, like, strung out down the stairs, and I somehow pass out face first into the concrete between the washer and the dryer, and, and so I wake up there, and there was a little panic, like, washer, dryer, concrete. Oh my God. And so I brought underwear. Hi, how did this happen? And so, you know, I found the bed and I crawled back into bed and I went to sleep. Now the next day, I went to sleep, and then when I woke up, I went into the bathroom and I saw that I had, like, cracked my head open. And I was all bruised on my face, and I was all cut up from how I fell, and it was all messed up, and, I was so ashamed, and I was so disgusted with myself that I told everybody that this guy had beat me up, because I didn't know what else to do, and that's not okay. And that's how scared I was, and that's how ashamed I was, and how low I had gotten. And I was drinking in the mornings, and it became so violent with me that I needed to drink so badly that I couldn't stop shaking. I was going into mini seizures unless I stopped drinking, or I couldn't stop shaking unless I drank. But when I would drink, I would throw it up because my body was trying so hard to reject it that it was just this violent, like, with myself, like, you have to drink, I can't, and it was awful. And so I finally broke down, and I asked my mom to take me to the doctor, and I did, and my blood pressure was, like, 170 over, like, 140 something. I was pale, I was gray, it wasn't even pale, I was gray, and I was skin and bones, and I was bruised all over, and I had enough. I was tired. And they put me in a detox. And when I got out of detox, I didn't really know what I was going to do. I didn't think that I was going to get to be sober or stay sober. Like, how do you do that? Like, what do you do with your time? And no. And I just needed a little break. And my mom said, well, I know this place where they have these AA meetings, and why don't you go to one? Why don't you try one? And I'm like, no. Oh, what is this, a bunch of old people drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes? And no, I don't know. And she's like, will you just go to one? And I'm like, okay. So I went. And there wasn't all these old people drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes. It was a beginner's meeting, and there were beautiful people that were smiling and laughing, and women that came up to me because I was new, and they gave me their phone numbers, and they pulled out a meeting schedule, and they say, you'll be here tomorrow. And I go, okay. And they gave me a big book, and I showed up the next day. And when I said that I got this period of grace that a person like me doesn't deserve, that's my period of grace, is when I got to that second meeting. And they said, okay, you'll be here tomorrow night. I said, okay. And I showed up at that next meeting. And that's not possible for someone like me. For someone that drinks the way I drink, that acts the way I act, that's never followed through with anything in her life, that doesn't follow rules and doesn't care. That's not me. I'm not doing that. And so I got a sponsor, and I start working the steps. I can't even... I was supposed to go to 90 and 90, and I did. I started doing 90 and 90, and I started to fall in love with these meetings. And it was weird, because, you know, for the first week, I don't remember anything. I was still in a blackout. I'm telling you, I was still in a blackout that first week. I don't remember anything, but I know I was at a meeting every day. That's all I know. And I started to hear things, and I started to hear you guys talking, because I was convinced, honestly, that nobody knew what I had gone through, and nobody could relate to the way I behaved and how I feel inside, and you know how heavily I drank for the little girl that I am. You know, nobody looks at me and goes, "Oh, she's an alcoholic." I don't fit the bill just by looking at me, but trust me, I am an alcoholic, and I didn't think that anybody got that. But you guys did get that. And you guys figured out a way to stay sober, so I'm interested. You got my attention, and working those steps was just it was magical. I remember having like this moment of clarity, like 30 days in, and I realized that this anxiety is lifting from me, and that I've never been more free and more just calm. I was calm. I've never been calm before. There's never peace before. And I only had 30 days. And congratulations to Mike for your 30 days today. I don't know where he went. And Steven, happy birthday. 1 year. It's awesome, man. I was just right there. I know you're well into your second year. I hate when people say that to me, but. So. They said that like on day two. And, and so, you know, I did everything wrong in my first year. I need to say this out loud. I did everything wrong. I moved three times. I moved. I started dating. Surprise! I started dating someone in AA, and and I had, and you know what? The thing too is like I got through all of it. And I said to myself, okay, I started making like bargains with myself. Like, okay, I'll stay sober if, and then one of them was if nobody I love dies. Because if somebody I love dies, all bets are off. I'm out. And my grandma died in that first year, and she was like the most amazing, magnificent woman. I can't even paint a picture to you what kind of woman this is and how close I was. And I got to be there. I got to participate. I got to hold my mom up. I walked through it as a sober woman, and I didn't know I was capable. And that guy I told you I'm dating in AA, we dated for a good almost a year. And then we broke up. And I wasn't convinced, actually, I don't know if I even said this out loud, but I wasn't fully convinced that I was staying sober that whole time because of me. I thought, because I fell in love with this guy, and I got to go to the meetings, and had these friends now, staying sober was just working for me. And he wouldn't have been with me if I was drinking, so I stayed sober. And when we broke up, I was devastated. I just did love this guy. But then I got to find out, oh, I liked being sober, and I liked being a part of Alcoholics Anonymous. I loved being a part of Alcoholics Anonymous. And then I was sponsoring women, and I realized that I am doing this for me, that I am worth this, and that I have something to contribute in a group, which I've never been capable of before. And so my sobriety started taking off on a whole new level, and I gotta tell you that I have women in my life, I have friends in my life that my family couldn't even walk me through some of the things I went through in that first year. I have friends now that are they're my family, and they came with me tonight. And you know what? My other friends, asked them to come with me somewhere on a Friday night to go watch me talk my sober talk. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. I am so grateful. So I got to walk through this, and I got to find myself. I found myself, and I found my sobriety, and I was rock solid. And then he showed up at my home group, and we got back together. And I say this because now we have a beautiful home in Oceanside, and I have this little life now. I get to be domestic and enjoy it. And I get to come home to someone, and I love the face I see. And it's not a volatile kind of passionate, like this is how I had to have things before way. It's a genuine respect and love, and it's back and forth. And I can do that now. I didn't think I could do that ever. And I have this amazing job, and I show up at a job, and I'm accountable, and it's not in any bar or restaurant or anything. It's nowhere, near food or drink or. It feel like when I say this stuff to you, it's a fairy tale. Like, I don't deserve any of the things I've gotten. I don't deserve any of this. The grace and just the beauty that has come in my life now. It's all Alcoholics Anonymous. And it is for me showing up over and over again. And just, if you're new tonight, all I had was a little willingness. I was just willing to hear you out because I didn't know any different. I didn't have a better answer. Just willing. And my higher power took care of the rest. And I just want to thank you all for my sobriety and letting me have this beautiful, normal life now that I'm thriving in and that I cherish. And I owe it all to you guys. Thank you so much for having me.